time period. Appointment. Do they serve until?
There's not a time period. There's no set time.
No set time.
What was it, Shane Hughes and Don Moore?
Yep. Move to appoint Shane Keyes and Don Moore to the Wellness Committee based on their recommendation.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Court orders.
Good morning. This morning, I've only got one court order to bring to you. It's a personal property paid abatement. It's a refund. Abatement number is 300250. The taxpayer claimed wrong vehicle for the 2016 tax year.
I don't know when it says taxpayer claim. You have evidence that backs it up from the Department of Revenue showing they did not own that vehicle.
Yeah, I think that's
true. Yes, it's there.
It's here.
Is that what that other
that
name
last
was?
Page?
Last page or second to last page?
I think.
Second
to last page, I'm sorry.
That's showing who the owner is now of that same vehicle. Label is Exhibit A. Move to approve Exhibit A, dated July 2nd, 2018.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
That's all I have this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Animal control discussion. Dog bites.
Morning.
Good morning. Was Brad here just for the wellness?
I guess he was.
I assumed he was here for this.
I would have thought he would have been here for this.
Yeah.
I would have respected him. I expected him to have been here for this.
Let's see.
We have bites besides dog bites.
Pardon?
We have animals that are biting people besides just dogs?
Yes.
All right. So, are you saying that we have in our ordinance for dogs, but we don't have an ordinance for other bites?
Right, both domestic and wildlife.
How do the statutes, do they cover that if I'm bit by a wild animal?
The statutes are in regards to reporting of animal bites through the health department.
Mr. Nusgo, do you want to come on? I didn't know.
Yeah, come on up.
What? So I know we got some emails saying, hey, you want to talk about What are we specifically wanting to discuss?
In the past, we investigated all bites, both domestic and wildlife.
We being
when the animal control
was part of health. Okay.
After the transition, we have continued to investigate all bites, both domestic and wildlife. My question is that the intent of the commission and the county to continue that process moving forward?
Mr. Nagoda, do you have a comment on that?
Well, I think from the health department's perspective, you know, our authority is focused on determining the, I guess, the health of the patient, the person that was bitten. So when it comes to the animal side of things, we want to make sure that we want to really determine the vaccination status of that animal or the rabies status of that animal. So our authority really does not go beyond dealing with an animal that is repeatedly biting somebody or, I guess if it was a wild animal or something like that, there'd be very little things we could do with those animals in terms of controlling them without going through a really involved court process to get court orders and everything else. And then by then, you know, either the person has gone through the post-exposure shots or, you know, it would be beyond the incubation period and, you know, so going through the court process is something we just very rarely ever do. And in fact, I don't think we've ever done it as far as I've been here. So I guess the question would be, how do we go in the future to make sure that, from the health department's perspective, you know, we're able to, correctly identify the animal's vaccination status, as well as make sure that, you know, if the work that the animal control officers are doing, how that fits into all this. So there might be a broader discussion in terms of where does that line occur, and if the animal control officer are doing work that's supporting the health department's mission, what type of agreements need to be in place, and is there any sort of reimbursement that needs to happen from the health department to cover those officers' hours. I think for the most part, some cases are, generally most cases are handled pretty quickly, but then you have some other cases that get really involved where it takes a bit more time. And Sherry can kind of give you an idea on exactly how much time is being spent on those things. Some of them can be quite involved.
One of the things with wildlife, especially if the animal is still living, and we're able to send the animal to the state lab to be tested to verify whether or not they had rabies, there is an expense involved with getting that animal to a vet and getting it euthanized before we can send that animal. We can't send live animals to the state lab, so. The animal does have to be euthanized. We do have to prepare the specimen, and then we have to send it to the state lab for testing. With domestic animals, most of the time we can quarantine them in their home, and we have to go in on the first day, the fifth day, and the tenth day to view the animal and ensure that there hasn't been any change in behavior. And then occasionally we do have to, depending on whether we feel a home quarantine is capable or not, we do have to quarantine at the shelter. We don't quarantine wildlife at all. Wildlife are dispatched and then sent to the lab for testing. But if we're able to quarantine that animal at the shelter, we will. And that includes a feral cat. If we have a feral cat that's bit someone, we will definitely bring that animal into the shelter, or we will euthanize it and send it to the lab for testing.
If we're talking wildlife outside of like the cat and dog, mm-hmm. we take up, if it be a skunk, a cave, mm-hmm. a snake, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. So when someone's bit, who do they typically call? They don't call the 911 sheriff's office, or they call it, you know?
We get calls from the ER when they go and they get treatment. We've had calls directly from the people themselves. We get calls from law enforcement. So I think there's a lot of different avenues on how we get notified. So sometimes the calls go to animal control. Sometimes they come to us. So it's So very involved process.
Those type of bites would, I would think, normally happen more in the rural area. Am I wrong on that?
I don't have. Sherry probably knows more about that, but you know it's.
Well, the jurisdictions themselves will bring the animals to us to quarantine. So we do get bites within the incorporated parts of the county as well as the unincorporated parts of the county. I can't tell you that one we get more in one than the other, but we are responsible for the unincorporated part. The jurisdictions, City of Branson, Hollister, they're responsible for their own animal bite investigations, and they will bring us animals to quarantine for them on occasion.
So, okay. We got two different issues. You got wildlife, and you've also got domestic, right?
Correct.
So let's deal with domestic first. Domestic in incorporated areas, you get a dog bite. They do their own investigation.
Yes.
Who does the investigation there?
Pardon?
The police?
Police department, or in the instance of the City of Branson, their animal control officers.
Okay. So the incorporated areas, they do their own. Previously, whenever animal control was under health department, did health department do the investigation?
Of all.
So they've, so they've rolled it into the incorporated areas do their own.
But we also, we're still doing animal bite investigations.
The health departments from the
human side.
Human side, you guys are, is that by statute or is that by?
Yeah, it's
I,
by.
I get bit by a dog.
Yeah.
I go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. They call you, hospital calls you?
Yeah. And
why?
Then we would follow up with the person.
Why did the hospital call you?
It's mandated reporting. It's
okay.
Like a committee. Okay. So we would follow up just to the point of determining the animal's vaccination. So it's
so you work in conjunction with the incorporated areas. So your question is in our in the unincorporated areas, how do we want to handle the investigation on the dog bites? how many is are there a year of unincorporated area dog bites or cat bites? 500, 200, 317.
I would, in the unincorporated, I mean.
Because incorporated areas we don't mess with, right? We house the animal.
We house their animals.
Other than that, we don't do anything with.
Correct. I'd have to go back and look through the data because we didn't separate it by county versus jurisdictions. It was just one lump sum of animal bites or animal exposure, both wildlife and domestic.
How many was that?
I think it was somewhere around 75 to 100.
Yeah. So was half, do you think, domestic and half wildlife or more domestic?
More domestic, probably, yeah. Than wildlife.
Yeah, and typically the county, it used to have about 50% of the calls generally, so it's about 50% of those would be county related.
So you're maybe talking 25, 30 that are in the unincorporated area.
Up to 50, yeah.
But you still need to keep track of those for your
But we don't keep track of the animals. We just keep track of the people because when it comes for animal control side of things, you'd want to make sure if there's an animal, a dog or a cat that's repeatedly biting people, then you get into the whole vicious animal type thing. So we don't look at the characteristics of the bite, whether it was provoked or anything like that, beyond just the idea of if it's a bite and it's a provoked bite, that's going to change from the clinical view whether the animal is behaving differently. So say an animal just nips somebody, you know, that's probably not a rabies type thing. We still need to check on it, but you know, it's probably not one of those typical rabies aggressive animal that's acting bizarrely and attacking people randomly versus and once we clear the animal for rabies, that's off our chart. So from the animal control perspective, if you have an animal that's causing a lot of problems and things like that, then